On today's show, we have part two of Renee's Disney World, Universal, and Royal Caribbean trip. This is WWDW, the Disney World Planning Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 229. I'm your host, Julie Elster, creator of WWDW.com, the Disney World planning website. Today we have part two of Renee's trip. If you missed part one, I would head back. We talk Universal, we talk resort hopping, all sorts of great information in there. Part two, we're going to finish up with Disney World and her Royal Caribbean cruise. We talk about how to combine all of these things seamlessly, which she managed to do, and with a lot of people. But I'm going to let Renee take it away. All right, so what are you guys doing then the next day?
The next day, it's just the moms, four kids. We are headed to Topolino's for breakfast. So we had a 7:30 a.m. reservation.
Oh, so late night, but early dining reservation then.
Yes. It was good. Our husbands drove us.
That helps. That yes. 100% helps. If you aren't messing with taking a Lyft or a bus or anything, it makes life so much easier.
And logistically, it was going to be very complicated to get to Riviera. If we didn't take a Lyft, but then we'd have to find a Lyft that was big enough for all of us.
Yes. Yeah. You'd have to probably do two, or you'd have to do a minivan again or something.
So they were like, we can take you. So they took us, dropped us off real easy. And then they headed to the golf course and we started our day.
Okay. Now, as far as golfing, I just want to backtrack quickly in case anybody has a golfer. I am not a golfer. I've never... I have golfed, but it's just not my thing. I've never golfed at Disney. So what does booking a tee time, how does that look? Do you do that online? Did you have to call? Is it something you could do when you arrive? How does that work?
He had to call. So my husband called, and they were able to get two tee times at the same golf course. So they did one in the morning, and they did one in the evening.
Oh, okay.
And price-wise, it was actually really reasonable. If anybody knows anything about golf, it can be pretty expensive, like the tee time. So I was expecting it to be a lot with Disney.
You expect Disney prices.
Yes, I did. And I think it was like $145.
Okay. And that's, I don't even know. That's
two rounds. That's actually really good.
Okay. Okay. Good to know.
So the evening round, I think they got a discount, which I was like, Disney gives discounts. But yeah, so it wasn't bad. I think they had to rent their golf cart, though. So that was an additional cost.
And so they're doing that. You guys are heading over to breakfast then. So this is a hard to get breakfast reservation even still. Did you struggle to get this, or were you just lucky?
No, I was not lucky. Our original plan was Garden Grill because I could not get this. I used Add More Magic,
yes.
Which I'm pretty sure I heard on your podcast.
I've definitely talked about it.
Yes, I've not used Add More Magic before. This was my first time using it. I had used Stakeout before.
Yes.
And I had set up Stakeout, which is free. And then I set up Add More Magic. Stakeout didn't give me anything. Add More Magic was able to get it.
The issues with Stakeout or Mouse Dining are they send you notifications, but they're sending notifications to everyone who's signed up. So if you're not quick, and even if you are quick, it's a crapshoot. It's still hard to get. So if you do Add More Magic, they book it for you, and they do charge. And I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, is it $2 per person on the reservation?
It costs us $18 for six people.
Okay, so $3 then. Okay. $3 per person on the reservation. But they only charge you if they can book the reservation. So had you not gotten this reservation, you would not have been charged the $18. Whereas if you can also pay an upcharge for Stakeout or Mouse Dining. And then I don't even know. It's like you get faster notifications, or you get them email and text, and you have to pay, and you may or may not get anything.
Yeah.
So Add More Magic, I think, is the way better way to go personally.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I tend to throw money at the issue sometimes.
Sometimes to make you my have life to easier. With stuff like this. You know, I mean, I hate to say it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like that morning I booked Standby Skipper.
Okay.
So I had booked that the week before, and it was $45 for a whole week. It was either one day for like $24 something, or 7 days for $45.
Yeah,
those are the only two options.
Standby Skipper
helps you grab Genie Plus Lightning Lanes. And it's a third-party app, and you have to, they like go into your account, they book rides on your behalf if you've purchased Genie Plus. And the way it works is you can either pay for a single day, or you can pay a little bit more and get a full week of the service. So you paid for the full week of Standby Skipper. Okay, so I definitely, once we get into like your park time, want to hear your thoughts on that. But let's start with Topolino's then. So talk to me about your breakfast.
It was good. The service was a little slow. We were itching to get out of there. We were ready to go. Epcot early entry started at 8:30 and our reservation was at 7:30. So we were hoping to be out of there by then, and we were not.
Yeah, character meals are time consuming.
The characters came quickly. We had seen all the characters before we even had our food.
Okay.
It was just more people came in and the waitresses got busy and we were trying to check out. My friend had gift cards and it was just a lot.
Okay. Okay.
So we got out of there about 8:15, but it was good. I mean, I had been there before. My kids loved it. My friend had not. So that's why we booked it. Her kids liked it.
What did you think price wise? And also considering that you had to pay an extra $18 on top of what you paid, did you feel like this breakfast was worth it? I mean, it's so hyped up and people love it. Did you feel it was worth it, or do you think another, maybe a different character breakfast might be better?
I thought it was worth it, but I liked the food option. I like not having to stand in line at a buffet. It's a little bit more high quality food. It was cheaper than Garden Grill, which is what we originally had booked. So for us, we felt like it was worth it. My kids love like the Mickey dippers. That's what they got, the waffle dippers. We had steak and eggs, and it was really good.
Okay. All right. All right, so now we're heading to Epcot. So let's kind of go through your morning over at Epcot. What time did you get there?
We got there about 8:15, 8:30. So when early entry was ending, I had first woken up that morning and I had Standby Skipper book me Test Track. And then I paid for Rise of the Resistance. So I booked that. Rise of the Resistance was $25 a person.
Oof.
That day. Yeah.
And how many are you buying?
We bought 6.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. So you guys are planning on hopping over to Hollywood Studios later in
the
day.
We are.
Okay.
Yes. And I will say we had an issue that morning when I went to go buy Rise of the Resistance. My friends, their son's name is the same name as like the dad and the grandpa.
Uh-oh.
They all have John.
So Genie, or not Genie. Yeah. So, or My Disney Experience barfed on ya.
Yeah. Their room, they had the grandpa instead of the dad, or instead of the son.
Oh,
so
no.
Once I went to go book, it was saying I couldn't book for him because he didn't have a hotel reservation.
Oh, no.
So we're driving to Topolino's and they're calling, they getting everything fixed. Then we had to link each other again. I needed them to be linked to me to be able to book everything. And by the time we got that figured out, it was like 7:15. But when I bought Rise, then it was like 6:45 p.m. That was the earliest I could get.
Okay.
So it worked out. We could do it, but it was a lot of hoop.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite the hassle.
It was. And our original plan when we got to Epcot was to rope drop Ratatouille, but it was already insane.
Yeah, that one very quickly. I'm shocked.
Very quickly.
I really am. I was not expecting, like knowing what that ride was because it's a clone of the one in Paris. So already like knowing what it was and then experiencing it myself at Epcot, I was like, there's no way that this ride will maintain the 90-minute, two-hour wait times. And it has. It really has.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's a cute ride. I would not wait 90 minutes for it, though.
No. And we did it.
Yeah.
We quickly we quickly changed our plans. So we headed to our Test Track Lightning Lane that Standby Skipper had booked. It was a 60-minute wait, and we got on and off in 20 minutes. And it was booked for 9 a.m. when the park opened. So that was nice. And then I set up Standby Skipper to book Soarin' next.
Okay.
And it got Soarin' for 11:35.
All right. So
wasn't too bad.
Are you so far with had you used Standby Skipper before?
I had not. This was my first time.
Okay. And I know you have said several times that you are a planner and you have a hard time letting go. You had mentioned that like with your plans at Universal. This is one of the issues I have with Standby Skipper. I too have a hard time letting go. Did you find it difficult to let it take control of things like that? Were you still on your phone, like adjusting?
Yes.
And Okay, yes.
Yes. I did get on and adjust the time at one point, I think the next day. I didn't like the time they got, and I could find an earlier time. So I just switched it.
Yeah. Did you find it helped you to be on your phone less, or were you still on your phone just as much?
I was on my phone less. I think if it was maybe just my core family of four, I probably still would have been on my phone a lot because I was with a friend and talking. I was kind of, it was nice to kind of just not think about it. But I liked it, but it didn't grab as many rides as I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's, I kind of feel the same way where I'm like, it does what it's supposed to do. Is it worth an upcharge? I don't know. Like
I don't know.
I'm still on my phone just as much for the most part. So
I found, I found that I would like, it would book something, but I would constantly see if I could change the time.
Yeah. Yes. You're still fiddling with it because you're like, well, this isn't exactly what, like, this isn't what I would have done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we're just over planners. Maybe we're just a little too controlling. I don't know.
And I also found that I was only adding one ride at a time.
Oh,
okay. Because if not, it would possibly book something on the other end of the park.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to zigzag.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're not familiar, you can give it a whole list of rides that you want. Or you can just give it like, all right, only find this ride.
Yes. So after Soarin', we headed to Figment. It was only close to 10 minutes and we waited two. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, if you're waiting for that ride,
that's
happened.
A problem.
Something's gone wrong.
Then we headed to Nemo and that was close to 30. We waited 19.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised you waited at all for that one.
We had our lightning lane for Soarin and I didn't want to like venture off if Soarin was right there.
Right.
I found having a bigger group is a lot harder to maneuver than just like my core four.
Sure.
A lot of bathroom breaks that I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah.
You take one and then another one has to go. A lot of snacks, it's different.
Yep.
It's a lot harder when you're planning with a group versus just your normal group that you're used to going with. So after Nemo, we headed to our Soarin' and that was at 11:30. It was posted 75 minutes. We waited 24.
That one, I think it's, that queue, even if there's no wait, you end up waiting. Just the loading takes so much time and the pre-show that you have to watch.
Yes. And I will say this is the one time Standby Skipper found something that was sold out.
So what once did we it checked find in, for you?
Once we checked in for Soarin', it got us Frozen.
Oh, wow.
I had Frozen and Ratatouille set up, and it could never grab us Ratatouille.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever once had... I've tried Standby Skipper a couple of times. I don't think I've ever once had it find something that was sold out, so that's great.
Yeah, so I was happy with that, because that was completely sold out. It had been sold out since the morning, and it got it for $12.45.
Oh, and so it's like a soon return time, too.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. So we got off of Soarin' and started heading through the World Showcase to make our way to Frozen.
Okay.
And then we stopped at a couple things on the way. And then once we got to Frozen, it was posted 95 minutes.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And we only waited 5.
Wonderful. All right. Standby Skipper. Good job.
Yes. And then once we checked in for that, I just had it looking for Ratatouille. It never got it. And then I had it start looking at Hollywood Studios.
Okay. Yeah, the problem with Epcot, this is not Standby Skipper's fault, but Epcot, there's not a whole lot to grab with Genie Plus, with Lightning Lanes. When you were doing Figment and Nemo, were you using Lightning Lanes for those or just regular ride queue?
We were just waiting.
Yeah, because I'm sure it would have no problem grabbing those two rides for you if you had just opened it up to everything. You know, the problem is there's just not a lot to get as far as Genie Plus Lightning Lanes. So moving it over at this point to Hollywood Studios is probably the smart move. You've done a lot of the big stuff with the exception of Ratatouille. So now it's time to focus on the other park.
Yes. So we quickly mobile ordered at Connections after that. Our arrival time was 2:10. Our food wasn't ready till about 2:30. And it was packed in there.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at spring break crowds.
Yeah. It was, people were just not on their best behavior.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for a seat. Everybody's frustrated. It's hot. They're hungry. And they're just not on their best behavior. people across from us were mad because somebody took their seat, but they didn't know that they hadn't left yet. There was like one person in this big long table, and it looked like nobody was there. So somebody grabbed their seat and walked off, and they were not happy.
Oh. Now, it sounds like they just had the dining area open. Sometimes when it's very busy, they'll check and say, do you have a mobile, or like, can you show me that you've ordered food? They don't want you to sit down until then to avoid stuff like that. It sounds like that wasn't the case this time.
No, it was not the case.
This is another example where I wish they would go by what Universal does. And I'm sure you saw this. Did you eat it? Was it Three Broomsticks? Where did you eat?
Leaky Cauldron.
Leaky Cauldron. I believe they do this too, where you get your food and then somebody, even though it's a quick service, somebody walks you to a table.
Mm-hmm.
And this avoids the fights that I've seen at the parks at Disney, because I have seen fights over tables.
Yeah.
So I wish that Disney would do something like this. And then that person nice. That you saw would not have been so mad.
They were furious. But it is what it is. So after lunch, we headed to Hollywood Studios, took the Skyliner. That was great. Standby Skipper had grabbed us Star Tours. That's an easy one.
Yeah, it's an easy one.
And when they grabbed it, I didn't like the time. So I went in and modified it for something earlier.
With Hollywood Studios, because Star Tours, often there's little to no wait anyway. Did you have Standby Skipper just open to grab anything, or did you have a list of specific rides for Hollywood Studios?
I had a list of specific rides because of the group that we're with. My kids can ride everything, and I have an older child that can ride by himself. My friend is not.
Okay.
So she has to have two adults for her two kids.
Gotcha.
And I have to ride with my daughter, so it didn't work. We had to only pick rides where we could all ride together. Or rows of three.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I wasn't looking for Slinky Dog, none of those rides.
Okay. And so Standby Skipper started with some low-hanging fruit, got you Star Tours.
It was a 30-minute wait, though. It was a long
four
wait.
Star Tours, that is a wait. Yeah.
They were waiting outside. So we got in and out in 11 minutes. Not too bad. And then this is where we made an awful mistake. We wanted Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and it couldn't grab it for us. So we decided to wait.
Okay.
It was posted 95 minutes.
Oh, no. Runaway Railway was 95 minutes?
Yes. And we thought, we'll just get snacks. It'll go quickly. Well, it broke down.
Oh, no.
When it broke down, we were literally right there. Like, we can see the rope where you go through and you're where the theater is. So we waited, and when it came back up, it was every Lightning group and one Standby group.
So, so if people don't know, they'll do so many Lightning lanes, so many standard guests. So they let people go, and they'll count how many. The busier it gets, if a ride breaks down, then they'll start doing more Lightning lanes and fewer Standby guests. So the ratio will then change, and the Standby guests end up waiting a little bit longer.
Yes. And that's
which unfortunately in this case was you.
Yes. It ended up being a 95 minute wait, which is what they had posted to begin with. So, I mean, we can't be too upset. But we were very close when it broke down, and then watching everyone walk through.
Brutal.
And then letting one group from Standby through, that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's to be expected. After that, we headed to Rise. We had our individual Lightning Lane. It was posted 90 minutes. So we waited 18.
Now, where do you count the like, when you're saying we waited, do you count that until, like, you get on the ride vehicle? Like, it's, depending on who you are, some people say the ride starts in part of the pre-show, or you're like, I'm looking at the ride vehicle.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ride vehicle. If I'm not on the ride vehicle, it hasn't started yet.
So I will say, though, 18 minutes is good, though, because that means you're doing all the fun pre-show stuff, you know, like, pretty quickly.
We walked right into the pre-show stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
There was no waiting, so it was good. Not bad. And then after that, our kids were done. They were done in the Mickey and Minnie's line.
Oh,
they were over it. They wanted to go to the pool. That's all they cared about. And the day before, when the husbands took them to the pool, they didn't take them to the main pool. So they wanted to go see the main pool.
Oh, the husbands took them to the quiet pool? That was cheating. They cheated.
I know. They did.
They cheated.
You can't count on them for anything. So we decided to call it a day. We got on the bus at 7:42. And we were back and in the pool by 8:30.
Okay.
This is not what we had planned. We were going to go to Magic Kingdom after Hollywood Studios. They were open until 11. So that's what we were going to do. But the kids just wanted to swim. And I had Standby Skipper booking rides for Magic Kingdom. It had grabbed us Haunted Mansion. It had grabbed us Pirates. It was grabbing things. And we just let them go.
All right. So it was doing its job. It was getting and getting decent stuff. It wasn't getting, you know, the low-hanging fruit here. I think it was getting some good rides. But unfortunately, you weren't able to use them.
We were.
You know, but the kids, it sounds like the kids were happy. How did they like the pool?
They loved the pool. We were only there about an hour, but they loved it. And the next day, we wanted to go back, but we couldn't.
Oh. Was that it for the night then?
That was. We were in bed and in our rooms around 9:40. One more park day. And this is with everyone. 8 people.
Okay. This time, the men are joining. How was golf? Did they have any?
They had a great time.
Okay, good.
Yeah. They had fun.
I mean, I know nothing about golf, so I don't even know what questions to ask about the golf course. Was it good? Yes. Okay.
The golf course was good from what I gather. I asked, I said, was there like Mickey-shaped sand dunes or anything?
See, look, you've got the better, you should be hosting. You've got better questions here.
And there was one. He said that it wasn't too Mickey. There wasn't a lot of Mickey thing, which I'm surprised. They liked it though.
The next day then, what's going on this day?
So this is April 3rd and we're rope dropping Hollywood Studios. So we're trying to do things that we couldn't do without the husband.
Okay.
We rope dropped Slinky Dog. I also bought an individual lightning lane for Guardians. That was 17 a person. And I bought Tron. That was 20 a person.
Okay, so we plan on doing quite a bit of hopping then today.
3 parks.
All right.
But weather did not cooperate.
Oh, no.
Yes. So we started our day at Slinky. We got there about 7:40. In line, took about 40 minutes on and off the ride.
Even with rope dropping.
But I will say, it was 8:40. We got on a Toy Story Mania.
Okay.
So we headed straight from Slinky to Toy Story Mania. It was still 8:40. So it wasn't too bad. Standby Skipper got me Smuggler's Run for 9 a.m. So once we got off Toy Story Mania, we headed to Smuggler's Run. We were there at 9:12. It was a 45-minute posted, and we waited 9. And then Standby Skipper grabs Soarin' after that. That was a popular one the kids wanted to ride again.
Okay. All right. So this for your when you hop over to Epcot?
Yes, for when we hop. And then after Smugglers, we grabbed Ronto Roasters. So we mobile ordered that. That was quick. And we got a seat, no problem. There was no fighting.
No fighting over seats this time.
No fighting over seats this time.
They often, with Ronto, there's outdoor seating kind of around the corner, and there will often be a cast member just kind of standing there. And I think the seating isn't as obvious. So there's less fighting, and there's a cast member kind of standing at the entrance.
And that's where we sat. And there was a cast member, but she didn't ask if we had anything. Like, my husband and kids went in first when I went and got the food, and she didn't stop them. So it was easy, but it was a nice place to sit. And then after that, we headed out of the park. We were leaving at 9:53.
Oh, okay. So you did quite a bit, but you were out before 10 a.m.
Yes.
Wow.
And then we hopped to Epcot, had to get some maple popcorn on our way to Soarin'. That's a must. And then we got to Soarin'. It was a 75-minute wait. We waited 16 minutes. And this is when I had Standby Skipper searching for Ratatouille. Like I said,
still no luck.
No. So I gave up, and I had it started booking for Magic Kingdom. So it got Haunted Mansion for us. Not bad.
Okay. So it sounds like you're not planning on spending a ton of time at Epcot either before you hop again.
Well, we were going to focus on the World Showcase. Rain had different ideas.
Oh.
And we knew it was going to rain this day. We brought umbrellas. We brought ponchos. We were prepared. We didn't plan on going back. So after Soarin', we did 3 Caballeros. It was a posted 10-minute wait. We waited 11. Oh, well. And part of the ride was down. So we were going through and there was no music.
Oh, weird.
Donald was on the screens and he's talking, but you can't hear him.
Oh, how strange.
Yes. Yeah, so everything around us was going and the boat water wasn't going quick.
Huh.
You could tell when the boat water picked up and we started cruising again. But yeah, we were kind of just sitting there. It was weird.
Yeah, that does sound weird.
After that, we had our 1 p.m. for Guardians. So we left 3 Caballeros. We went to Guardians. We had to do Child Swap. because my friend's, one of her sons, not tall enough. That took a while. That ate up a good amount of time.
Yeah, child swap at Disney is extremely time consuming.
Yeah, that ate up a lot of time, but it was fine. And then we started heading around the world, and this is when it started to rain. We did a lot of like hiding under trees or grabbing a drink and hiding under an umbrella. In hindsight, we should have left. We should have taken a break, but we didn't.
You were going to soldier on.
We were going to power through. But it was, the kids were miserable. They were wet. And this evening was extended evening hours for deluxe guests till 1 a.m. And we planned on staying.
With or without the kids?
We planned on staying with the kids.
Wow.
Yes. So we should have taken a break, 100%. But we didn't. We kind of just walked through and then decided to give up. At 4:41, we were like, we've had enough. So we got on the monorail. We headed to Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
We got to Magic Kingdom about 5. We walked in and we saw that Pirates only had a 5-minute wait. So we headed straight to Pirates.
You know, as awful as the rain was, it sounds like it may have cleared other guests out.
It did. And this is when I didn't really need standby skipper. It grabbed stuff for us, but a lot of things were walk-on.
Okay.
So after that, we were meeting more friends. So we had another group we were meeting. It was 2 adults and another child. And we met them at Big Thunder. So big group now. Hard to maneuver. Lots of bathroom breaks. It just takes a lot of time to get everybody from point A to point B. But we did Big Thunder. It was posted 20. It only took us 14, which was good. And then Standby Skipper had gotten us Haunted Mansion. So that was posted at 35. And it took us 20 minutes. And then it got us Buzz after that. So we headed to Buzz. And it was a 35-minute wait. And we only waited 4 minutes.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then after that, I started booking my own.
Okay. So I was, you're like, Standby Skipper, I got done. This.
Yes. I was done.
Let me take over.
So the kids all wanted to do Barnstormer. So we got a lightning lane for Barnstormer. And that was posted 20. We ended up waiting about 7. And then after that, we just started riding rides without Genie Plus.
Okay.
There wasn't long lines. So we did Dumbo. It took us about 6 minutes to do that. We headed to Teacups. That was about 6 minutes. Then we did Little Mermaid. That was a walk-on. So we got all that done. And then it was time for Tron. It was about 9:20 at night. And it was quick. It was a walk-on. My daughter somehow was tall enough for Hagrid. But Disney told us she wasn't tall enough for Tron.
Interesting.
I didn't argue it. I wasn't concerned. It was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I had bought the individual lightning lane. So I just gave the magic band to my son and let him ride twice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was like, I'm not going to go to a blue umbrella and fight them about getting my $20 back.
Yeah, they would have refunded you 100%. But you're right. It would have been, you would have had to go and talk to somebody. My suggestion, if you had been like, I want that cash back, I don't, your son's not interested writing again, would be to use the chat feature in the app. Just talk to somebody that way and just let them know, like, you know, I bought this. My kid didn't meet the height requirement. But obviously in your case, it worked out fine because I'm sure your son was thrilled to ride again.
He was. He was pumped. He asked, he's like, can I ride again? And I was like, no. And then I was like, wait, you sure can. So he rode again. And that took up a big chunk of time, too, because we had to do child swap. And our other group of friends, it was just two of them. Their kids couldn't ride. So by the time we got off Tron, it was a little late. It was about 10 o'clock, somewhere around there. And it started raining again. So the other parties were getting a little tired. They were ready to go. They decided to do a People Mover, which was a walk-on. And then we did Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and which that one takes a while. It was like 18 minutes by the time we were all friends.
It's a show,
Yeah. The kids loved it. By now, extended evening hours were getting ready to start. So it was almost 11. The one party wasn't staying on site, so they couldn't stay. So they were heading out. And then the other group, who was also at Saratoga Springs, her kids were done. Her husband was done.
Even for me as an adult, when I'm like staying till 1 a.m., I'm like, I don't know how people do it. It's such a long day.
Yeah.
To stay that
late. She wanted to stay.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. No, I always want to stay.
Yeah. It was killing her to leave, but she left. And then it was just my family. So we decided, and my kids were troopers. My son was not in a stroller at all. He walked the whole day. I was very proud of him. We decided to head to Sudden Dorp. I was thinking that was down at the moment, and I was hoping it would come back up. By the time we got there, it did come back up. It's a quick walkthrough. It looked like it was almost a walk on. By the time we got to the doors, though, where you walk through to get in the inside queue, it went down again.
Oh my God. You've had such bad luck with that.
And it was another Hagrid's thing where I was like, we should get out of line. We shouldn't waste our time. But the other part of me was like, it's going to come back up. We'll get on.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Oh.
I gave it about 20 minutes or so and we bailed.
It's such a tough call because I've had both things happen where I stand in line and you stand and you wait and you wait and you wait. And it either doesn't come back up, or, you know, it takes way longer than you should have waited. Or I've had where I've left the line and then you see it like running again, you know, five minutes later.
Scared.
You're like, damn it.
Yeah. I was scared that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to get out of this line. It's going to come right back up. But it didn't. It was down the whole rest of the night. I kept checking.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was fine. I mean, we've ridden it. But if you're somebody who hasn't gotten to ride it, it was your last night. I mean, I'd feel bad for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got out of line and we decided to do just the rest of Fantasyland. And everything was a walk-on. Peter Pan was a walk-on. Small World, obviously, was a walk-on. Winnie the Pooh was a walk-on. And then we headed to Space Mountain, another walk-on. And we pretty much walked on everything. So at about 12:40, I realized nobody had eaten dinner.
Whoops.
And so I mobile ordered Casey's Corner. It was the only thing that was open. So we got Casey's Corner. We sat down at the tables outside. There was like no one there. And we ate. And then that was it. We finished our food, got the stroller, got the kids all ready, and headed back. We were on a bus about 1 a.m.
Ooh, that is a late night.
All right, it was late.
This is your last park day, but your trip is not over yet. So what's going on tomorrow?
So tomorrow we're waking up, packing up, and heading to Port Canaveral.
Okay, so where are you guys going?
It was just a quick four-day cruise. So it was stopping at Coco Cay. It's Royal Caribbean Cruise. And then Nassau, which was fine. And then a sea day.
Okay, okay.
And it's our first time cruising. It was everyone's first time cruising. It was the whole group, all 11 of us.
I was going to ask if everybody was going or was just your family.
Yes.
Okay, no. We won't spend a ton of time because it's Royal Caribbean, but people often will bookend these trips with a cruise. So talk to me a little bit about like what made you decide to do a cruise? What made you pick Royal Caribbean? And what was your overall impression of a Royal Caribbean ship?
It was our first time cruising. And this is actually how the vacation started. We were only going to take a cruise.
Okay.
And we picked our cruise based on the date that worked for spring break. I didn't want anything too long. We had never cruised before. Didn't know if we'd like it. And Royal Caribbean had the dates that worked. So that's why I went with them. It was strictly just date.
Okay.
And then from there, Universal got added and then Disney got added.
Okay. So slowly.
Slowly,
things crept up and got a little bit bigger.
I liked it. It's hard to go from something where you're going to something that is a little bit more low-key, I guess.
Interesting that you say that. I think cruises can be go. I've definitely cruised and been go. It just, the issue is you have to know, and if you've never cruised before, you have to know how to book stuff in advance, what your options are, what you can do, because there's definitely stuff the entire time. But you don't necessarily know that if you've never cruised before.
Yes.
So what were you guys doing then kind of like to fill your days? Since you are such a big planner, did you plan anything in advance or were you just kind of go with the flow?
I didn't really plan anything in advance. My husband and I had one dinner reservation that was separate from everyone else. And that was about it. I found the cruise ship wasn't that big.
Interesting. What do you remember what ship you were on?
Mariner of the Seas. It wasn't a huge ship.
Okay.
There was one pool and one adult pool.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So this definitely is one of their smaller ships.
Yeah. It was packed. The pool was freezing. So cold. And like the water slides, my daughter couldn't do any of them. She wasn't tall enough.
Mm.
So there wasn't a lot I felt like for them to do.
The Royal Caribbean ship that I went on recently was one of the bigger ones. It was one of like the Oasis class.
Yeah.
And so that one had like a merry-go-round type of thing for kids, and it had a lot of stuff for younger. And so this ship didn't have any of that stuff for the little guys.
There was an arcade.
Okay.
And to get to like the kids club drop-off area, you had to walk through the arcade. Of course. So we did do arcade games one day, but
and
it
the arcade,
wasn't...
it's an upcharge. It's not like it's
it
a free thing.
And
so
it's
you're
like
doing
$1.20 to $2 per game.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. So they had Flow Rider. They had
right. Did they have
putt-putt.
Mini golf? Anything
they
like
did.
That? Okay.
They did have putt-putt. We did that. It was fine.
It was okay. Yeah.
It was okay.
So overall, do you think you guys would cruise again?
I think we'd cruise again. I think I do more research on the ship.
I think my one tip is if somebody's considering a cruise and you've never cruised before, is look at the ship as well as the destinations. The ship itself is one of your destinations. Like you have to think of it that way, especially if you have a day at sea. And in my experience, you said you went to Nassau. Staying on the ship is probably better than Nassau. Nassau's great. But if there are no excursions that speak to you, just walking around Nassau, like at the port, is nothing spectacular. So either book an excursion or spend that time on the ship. But the ship itself is one of your destinations.
Yes. And we got off the ship at Nassau, but we literally got off and got right back on. But even on the ship, it was like hard to find a bed by the pool. Even when we were at Nassau, everybody's supposed to be off, but nobody was off.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I've found too, you have to be up very early to get a great spot. That was like the one day that I was like, this pool's great. It was the one day that I got up super early and claimed a really nice spot with like, I got one with like the table in between the two so we could set our breakfast and stuff. Every other day I was like, trying to find a spot by the pool.
Yeah. And our at sea day, one of our friends did get up and tried to get seats, but there was a lady walking around with like, if somebody is not in the seat, you have to give it up.
Yeah, they don't want you just holding seats for the whole day. Yeah, you would need at least a couple of your group up.
So it was fine. And I don't know if I'd do that cruise again.
Yeah, yeah. I found that Royal Caribbean was very loud. Like the music, the speakers, the DJ was insanely loud.
It
was
loud. Is
that just me? Did you find that?
No, it was loud. It was loud, especially on the pool deck. It was nice to like go in the adult area where there wasn't any music.
Yeah, I was like, why does everything need to be so loud? I didn't understand that. Was there like a kid's splash area on the ship?
There was not.
Interesting. So there was just the one regular pool and that was it?
There was no pool and a normal pool area with a hot tub.
I'm shocked there was no like splash zone or anything like that for younger kids.
Nope.
Yeah, so again, definitely research the
and
ship
I will
that
say,
you're on.
Yeah, I looked at Disney Cruises too. And those kids club areas look a lot more appealing.
Yes. My daughter wanted nothing to do with the Royal Caribbean kids club, but the Disney one, she loved it.
And that's probably something we'll consider next time. I didn't realize it would be so empty.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of pictures. When I Googled the kids club area for our particular boat, it was like nothing. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids club in Royal Caribbean is not nearly as impressive. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean your kid won't have fun, but the Disney ones are just, they're so much more involved. Like there's so much personality to them, depending on the ship that you're on. It's like, it's Toy Story or it's Star Wars. And the activities that you do, like my daughter came back, they had like made slime one day. They learned how to draw Mickey Mouse with like somebody who, you know, knows how to animate or knows how to draw, at least in that style. So just the activities were higher quality. The theming was better. But the pricing of Disney cruises is something.
Yeah, it is. It is. I will say my kid liked Kids Club area. They played Gaga Ball a lot. They did a lot of like ball, dodgeball, things like that. Not a lot of game, like video games or drawing or coloring. It was a lot of like ball involved games.
Interesting. I don't know that my daughter would have been into that, like playing dodgeball. I think like she'd rather color. She'd rather have somebody. She's very like thoughtful and sensitive. Like she doesn't want to be like hurling a ball at somebody. Whereas my boys probably would have been fine with that.
My son loved it.
Yeah.
He was in the older room and my daughter was with her friends like that we were traveling with. So she was okay. She was with them.
Okay. I'm glad that worked out.
But I will say one day we got there and they were already at capacity. It was like 7:15 and they opened at 7.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we're already at capacity.
Wow. There,
you had to line up. It was like, we learned, it was like 6:45. You had to line up if you wanted to get your kid in there.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, it
okay,
was crazy.
Okay, so these are all good things to know. So just be aware of activities for kids. Look into like the kids clubs, pools, things like that, and research your ship.
Yes, 100%.
In addition to dates and destinations. Yeah. All right. So after the ship, I don't want to spend too much time on like the Royal Caribbean stuff. Was this the end of the trip for everybody?
It was. It was the end. Once we got off the ship, it was Monday. The kids and I were missing school.
Whoops.
Oops. So we were heading back home. And everybody started back to regular life on Tuesday.
Okay. Any tips for anybody trying to plan? Like, this is a lot of different pieces.
It was a lot.
Any tips for staying organized or planning multiple aspects, Universal, Disney, and a cruise all in one trip?
I mean, Universal was easy with the Express Pass. If you have the money, I would say stay the premium. And the day that we were there, I heard people asking, like, can I buy the Express Pass? It was already sold out.
Yeah, it did. It does sell out. It's expensive and the price goes up. So if it's something you're considering, buy it early on because they change the price as it starts to sell out.
And if you have an Express Pass, it's a lot more laid back. Disney, just be prepared.
There's no laid back.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
I would add, too, even if, you know, your budget is just to do one night at the deluxe, because like you said, you get it both check-in and check-out day. So even if you don't have it the entire, you know, length of your tickets, if you get those just those 2 days and then you switch to a cheaper resort, if that's easier for your budget, it could still be worth it.
It could.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially during a busy time.
Yes.
Be prepared to pay for the convenience of not standing in line.
Or do a shorter, you know, you could probably do a shorter trip because you can get so much more done with the Express Pass.
We
so another way to save money.
Yeah. I mean, we were done with Universal in 2 days. We didn't need a longer than 2 day trip to Universal.
Right, right.
With the Express Pass.
Yeah. How about tips for booking with so many people or staying organized with so many people?
I'm thankful I had a very laid back group. They're like, whatever you want to do. Tell me how much I owe you. I'll Venmo you. Like, they're very laid back. I don't think everybody's that lucky. It's hard to, I felt like when I book things, I know what my family like. It's hard to know what everybody else like or what everybody else can ride.
Did you have conversations ahead of time with your friends about priorities or anything? Or were you just kind of winging it once you got there?
I mean, we had conversations, but they were very much like, I'll just make my kid ride.
Okay. You sound like this. I know it's not how it, but like, it just, you sound like you guys are running your kids ragged. You're like, they hated it, but we did it anyway.
I mean, her kids were scared of a lot of things.
Sometimes as a mom, you have to push a little bit.
So she would push them and make them ride. And a lot of times they got off and they loved it.
I always tell my kids, I'm like, listen, my rule as a mom is I'm not going to make you go on something that you're not ready to go on. Like, I know you're a little bit scared, but I know you, I know your limits, and I know that you can handle it and that when you get off, you're going to love it. I had to push my son to get on VelociCoaster and I thought he was going to cry. But I like looked at him as we were riding, biggest smile I've ever seen. And I was like, see, like I would not have done it if I thought you would have hated it. And sometimes as a mom, that's what you have to do. So I get it. I get it. I tease, but no judgment here on that.
I can't help it. If I could be in the park all day long, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But we were very much like, if you want to break off and do your own thing, don't feel bad.
Yeah, I think so. Being go with the flow is great. And so it's awesome that you had a group that kind of had the same mindset that like, we're going to be a little more laid back. We're going to be able to go with the flow. And it sounds like it made for a great trip.
Yes, it did. If it wouldn't been my only trip, we have another trip coming up in July. It would have been harder to go with the flow. But knowing I have another trip coming up, I was fine.
Okay. Would you splurge for standby skipper again?
I might. I think I probably will. when we go in July, it's my mom, my dad. We're taking my niece on her first Disney trip. So I'll probably splurge for it again, maybe for convenience.
Okay. And how about Add More Magic? Was that worth the money?
It was worth the money. If there's something you absolutely want to do, I wouldn't hesitate to use Add More Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, this was a wonderful trip. Thanks for sharing it with us. And well, not just Disney, but Universal and your cruise.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Renee for being on the podcast today. If you're interested in being a guest and sharing your trip, you can leave a voicemail message for me. There is a link in the show notes. Otherwise, I'll see you guys in the parks.